It's Sheila Hummel here once more with New Day Dawning. Thanks for joining me, all of you, especially those of you listening in hospitals in Newcastle and Gateshead. We'll be listening to some beautiful songs today, some of them challenging ones, and also reflecting on a set Bible reading for the day, which many Christians will also be hearing in their own churches throughout the country. I hope you enjoy the programme, and that you can feel free to write in and share your views if you'd like to. I'd love to hear from you, and you can contact me by writing to info@radiotyneside.co.uk. Our Bible reading for today plunges us straight into the very painful subject of divorce, as some Pharisees asked Jesus for his opinion on the subject. Divorce was a very hot topic even then at the time of Jesus, but this question could have cropped up because the Pharisees who opposed Jesus and his teaching may have been out to trap him. By inviting Jesus to respond to their question on divorce, here in Judea where King Herod reigned, was to invite Jesus into a deadly trap, depending on his answer, of course. The cousin of Jesus, John the Baptist, had been imprisoned and beheaded as a result of confronting Herod about his illegal marriage to his brother's wife, having just divorced his own. This question of divorce raised by the Pharisees seems innocent enough, but could evil intentions have been behind it? Was it indeed a trap, a web to get tangled up in? Which is why I chose this song, sung by Katie Melua. The line between right and wrong, she says, is the width of a thread from a spider's web. So here is today's Bible reading, Mark 10, beginning to read at verse 2. Some Pharisees came and tested Jesus by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." "It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Here, Jesus very cleverly puts their question back in their own court, just like playing tennis with them. "What did Moses command you?" he asks them. Now it's their turn to reply, but to them the answer is quite straightforward according to the rules handed down to them. "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away," they say. Moses did indeed. In Deuteronomy 24, it says, if a man chooses to enter into marriage with a woman, and he finds her displeasing to him because he has found something objectionable about her, he must draw up divorce papers, hand them to her, and then send her out of her house. But as Jesus points out to them, Moses only complied because the hearts of the people were hard. By the time of Jesus, husbands were divorcing their wives for the flimsiest of reasons, deluding themselves into thinking that the Old Testament permitted them to do so. The rules that had come about from that first one given by Moses in Deuteronomy had been qualified and expanded. After all, how did one define the word objectionable? Had the wife committed adultery or simply burnt the toast that morning? Jesus was reasoning with them that hardness of heart had no place in the question of marriage. I once wrote a song for my son's wedding based upon 1 Corinthians 13, a chapter used at most weddings, which outlines aspects of the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated, which we should all strive to imitate. And the chorus, based on words from verses 1 to 7, say this: if I have not love, I am nothing, which is the title of this song. We may be gifted, holy, good, and generous, but if we have not love, all these count as nothing.
Though I speak in tongues of angels and of men, but have not love, I will be a clanging cymbal, I will be a sounding gong. If I have give a reason why, I may have the gift of knowledge, I may even prophesy. If I have not love, if I have not love, if I have not love, I am not. Though my faith can move a mountain, though I give my wealth away, lift my hands up in surrender, give my body to the flames. If I have not love, if I have not love, if I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, it's not proud, it is not rude, doesn't love itself the most. Love is not so quick to anger, no record of a wrong, it does not delight in evil, but in truth bursts into song. If we have not love, if we have not love, if we have not love, we
in Jewish law, the woman was regarded as a possession. She had no legal rights, but was at the disposal of the male head of the family, and once married, a husband could divorce her on any grounds. But there were very few things on which a woman could seek divorce. All a man had to do if he found something objectionable about his wife was to have a bill of divorce drafted, approved by three rabbis, then handed to the ruling council. So taking the Pharisees right back to a scripture long before the time of Moses, Jesus said to them, "And a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh." Someone once likened this idea of one flesh to two pieces of wallpaper being stuck together, and when a break in the union occurs for whatever sad reason, the wallpaper cannot be easily separated without doing great damage to both pieces of paper. So it is with divorce. For the two people concerned and any children and grandparents, it can be a time of deep hurt. However, anyone who has to go through this process needs support and understanding, not judgment or pity. Like the delicate web we mentioned before, marriage can be fragile, and the difference between the rights and the wrongs within it are as thin as the thread of a web. By pointing out this reading from Genesis, Jesus here shows that God's original intention was that a love commitment should be something beautiful, precious, and binding. A more recent Jewish saying says this, that woman came out of a man's rib, not from his feet to be walked on, not from his head to be superior, but from his side to be equal, under the arm to be protected, and next to the heart to be loved. Let's listen to Casey Breves and Calabro singing "To Make You Feel My Love."
When the rain is blowing in your face and the heart is on your case, to make you feel my love. When the evening shadows and the stars appear, and there is no one there to dry your tears, I could hold you for a million years to make you feel my love. Crawling down the avenue,
no, there is nothing that I wouldn't do
to make you feel my love. Oh, the storms are raging on the rolling sea
and on the highway of regret.
Like me yet,
I couldn't make you happy, make your dreams come true.
No, in case you're wondering, this is Radio Tyneside, hospital radio for Newcastle and Gateshead, broadcasting on Channel 1 of Hospedia, the Ward Entertainment System, on 1575 AM in the hospital community and on Radio Player. Judging from that last song, though, sadly, love can sometimes turn out to be one-sided. Only one person in that song is doing the loving. The other hasn't made their mind up. Life together in marriage is well nigh impossible if love is not mutual, or if there's unfaithfulness, neglect, or abuse. In a marriage, the vows made between two people are not supposed to be taken lightly or irreverently. They are considered sacred. It's a point at which two people come together of their own free will to commit themselves in love to one another for as long as they both shall live. But let's also stress that God is all-forgiving and close to the brokenhearted and those in despair. So what is a real love commitment? Let me quote from a section of a book called Captain Corelli's Mandolin. It's a father's advice to his daughter about what true love really is, I suppose, in a perfect world. Love is a temporary madness, he says. It erupts like an earthquake and then subsides. And when it subsides, you have to make a decision. You have to work out whether your roots have been so entwined together that it is inconceivable that you should ever part. Because this is what love is. Love is not breathlessness. It is not excitement. It is not the promulgation, that is the making known to everyone, of promises of eternal passion. That is just being in love, which any of us can convince ourselves we are. Love itself is what is left over when being in love has burnt away. And this is both an art and a fortunate accident. He continued, "Your mother and I had it. We had roots that grew towards each other underground. And when all the pretty blossom had fallen from our branches, we found that we were one tree and not two." That was Louis de Bernier from Captain Corelli's Mandolin. But this quote makes it all sound so easy, doesn't it? It's not. All relationships have to be worked at. I think it's true to say that most couples experience hard times, challenging times. We've all been through them, I would imagine. But we must try never to give up. According to this next song, if we can just persevere and can manage to forgive one another, we can be strengthened by the experience. The next song says this. Is that rain falling from the sky, keeping you from singing? Is that tear falling from your eye, 'cause the wind is stinging? Don't you fret now, child. Don't you worry. The rain's to help you grow. So don't try to hurry the storm along. The hard times make you strong. This is a song called Hard Times by Jamie Owens Collins.
Is the rain falling from the sky keeping you from singing? Is that tear falling from your eye 'cause the wind is stinging? Well, don't you fret now, child, don't you worry. The rain's to help you grow, so don't try to hurry the storm along. The hard times make you strong. Don't you know a seed could never grow if there were never showers? Hard times make you strong.
One of the biggest problems we can all face in marriage is the inability to communicate our feelings openly with one another. We hold back from expressing our true feelings to one another for fear of making a difficult situation even more painful. So we simply don't talk. And in comes the wedge which separates, and indifference seeps in to destroy. And yet in some situations, we have to be wise enough to know when least said, soonest mended. Here's a song of mine called The Quarrel, which sums what I've been saying up. I'm singing it here with a well-known musician from Whitley Bay, Pete Scott. Over the years, my husband and I have learned to find the right moment for each of us to air our views, to have our say in difficult moments, without interruption. It's only then, in listening carefully to each other, that we can see the other point of view, and we learn so much about ourselves. But then it's hard to say sorry, isn't it? If pride gets in the way, it can result in a stalemate and a problem unresolved. Apologies can bring healing to a relationship, when they're meant sincerely. But why is sorry such a difficult word to say? If only we could spend more time listening than accusing, things might be different. Here's Elton John with Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word.
What am I gonna do to make you love me? What am I gonna do to make you care? What do I do when lightning strikes me? And awake to find that you're not there. What do I do to make you want me? What have I gotta do to be heard? What do I say when it's all over? I'm sorry, seems to be the hardest word. It's sad,
so sad,
with a sad, sad situation, and it's getting more and more absurd. It's sad,
so
sad,
why can't we talk it over?
Oh, it seems to me that sorry seems to be the hardest word.
Let's finish with one of the most popular wedding hymns, one that addresses God as perfect love, which calls for us to pray for and support couples making their sacred vows to one another. During this hymn, let's pray for anyone we know in difficulty in their relationships today. For those newly married learning all about each other. For those in the process of divorce who are hurt, broken and afraid. For those who've made mistakes and long to be forgiven. And also for all single people who so long for a love that's true in their lives. This is Sheila Hamill. Thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts with you today. Don't go anywhere because Martin Green is next with his breakfast show. In fact, stay tuned to Radio Tyneside all day. You'll hear great music and light-hearted banter from all our presenters. My thanks to Andrew Ridgwick for his technical expertise in bringing you this programme. I do hope you'll join us next week. May God bless you today and give you abundant life. Bye for now. Here is O Perfect Love.
O perfect love, all human thought transcending, lowly we kneel in prayer before thy throne, that theirs may be